I want to talk about something. Sarah Starchy Bartman, 1789 through 1815. So she was 26 years old when she passed, September 22nd, 2018. Starchy Sarah Bartman was one of the first Black women known to be subjugated to human sexual trafficking. She was derisively named the Hottentot Venus by Europeans as her body would be publicly examined and exposed inhumanly throughout the duration of her young life. Moreover, her experience reinforced already existing extremely negative sexual fascination with African women bodies by the people of Europe. Sarah Barton was born in September 89 at the Gatmos River, now known as the Eastern Cape, in South Africa. Eastern Cape in South Africa. Bartman and her family were members of the Gana-Kwa-Zaap group of the Khoi Khoi. Bartman grew up on a colonial farm where she and her family most likely worked as servants. Her mother died when she was age two, and her father was a cattle driver, died when she was still a young girl. By her teenage years, Bartman married a Khoi Khoi man who was a drummer. They had a child together who died shortly after birth. When Bartman was 16, her husband was murdered by a Dutch colonist. Soon after, she was sold into slavery to a trader named Pieter Willem Caesar, who took her to Cape Town, where she became a domestic slave to his brother, Hendrik. Excuse me. On October 29, 1810, although she could not read, 21-year-old Bartman supposedly signed a contract with William Dunlop, a physician who was a friend of the Caesar brothers. This contract required her to travel with the Caesar brothers and Dunlop to England and Ireland, where she would work as a domestic servant, since technically slavery had been abolished in Great Britain. Additionally, she would be exhibited for entertainment purposes. Bartman would receive a portion of earnings from her exhibitions and would be allowed to return to South Africa after 5 years. However, the contract was false in all details, and enslavement continued for the remainder of her life. Bartman was first exhibited in London in the Egyptian Hall at Piccadilly Circus on November 24, 1810. Her public treatment, however, quickly drew the attention of British abolitionists who charged Dunlop and the Caesars with holding Bartman against her will. The court ruled against Bartman after Pieter Caesar produced a contract that had been signed by Bartman. Bartman also testified that she was not being mistreated. The publicity generated by the court trial increased Bartman's popularity as an exhibit. She's taken on tours throughout England and by 1812 as far away as Limerick, Ireland. On September 1814, after staying 4 years in Great Britain, Bartman was taken to France and sold to S. Rules, an exhibitor who showcased animals. He put Bartman on public display in and around Paris, often at the Palais Royal. He also allowed her to be sexually abused by patrons willing to pay for her defilement. Rude garnered considerable profit due to the public's fascination with Bartman's body. Sarah Sarge Bartman died in Paris on December 29, 1815, at the age of 26 for unknown reasons. Even after her death, many of her body parts are going on display at the Musée de l'Homme, Museum of Man in Paris, to support racist theories about people of African ancestry. Some of the body parts remain on display till 1974. 1994, South African President Nelson Mandela formally requested that Bartman's remains be returned to South Africa. March 6, 2002, her remains were returned and buried at Hankey in the Eastern Cape Province. The Significance of Sarah Bartman by Justin Parks in BBC News Magazine. Two centuries ago, Sarah Bartman died after years spent in European freak shows. Now, rumors over a possible Hollywood film about Bartman's life has sparked controversy. Sarah Bartman died on December 29, 1815, but her exhibition continued. Her brain, skeleton, and sexual organs remained on display in the Paris Museum until 1974. Her remains weren't repatriated and buried until 2002. Brought to Europe seemingly on false pretenses by a British doctor, stage named the Hottentot Venus. She was paraded around freak shows in London and Paris with crowds invited to look at her large buttocks. Today she is seen by many as the epitome of colonial exploitation and racism, of the ridicule and commodification of Black people. Reports of Beyonce planning to write and star in a film about Bartman had been denied by the singer's representatives, but the rumors were enough to generate concern. Jean Burgess, a chief from the Koi Koi group that Bartman was from, argued that Beyonce lacked the basic human dignity to be worthy of writing Sarah's story, let alone playing the part. But Jack Devnarain, chairman of the South African Guild of Actors, said filmmakers had the right to tell the stories of people we find fascinating, that we must not, and that's what we must be careful not to object to. Even denying a link to a film, Beyonce's representative said, this is an important story that should be told. Bartman's life was one of huge hardship. It is thought she was born in South Africa's Eastern Cape in 1789. Her mother died when she was 2, and her father, a cattle driver, died when she was an adolescent. She entered domestic service in Cape Town after a Dutch colonist murdered her partner, with whom she had a baby who died in October 1810. Although illiterate, Bartman allegedly signed a contract with English ship surgeon Dunlap and mixed race and entrepreneur Hendrik Caesars, in whose household she worked, saying she would travel to England to take part in shows. The reason was that Bartman, also known as Sarah or Sartre, had what was called steatopagia, resulting in extremely protuberant buttocks due to a buildup of fat. This made her a cause of fascination. She was exhibited at a venue in London's Piccadilly Circus after her arrival. You have to remember that at that time, it was highly fashionable and desirable for women to have large bottoms, so lots of people envy what she had naturally without having to accentuate her figure, said Rachel Holmes, author of The Hottentot Venus, The Life and Death of Sarge Bartman. On stage, she wore skin-tight, flesh-colored clothing as well as beads and feathers and smoked a pipe. Wealthy customers could pay for private demonstrations in their homes with their guests allowed to touch her. Arrival in England coincided with speculation over whether Lord Grenville and his coalition of Whigs, known as the Broad Bottoms, because of Grenville's own large behind, would try to seize government. This was a gift for cartoonists. One creation titled A Pair of Broad Bottoms shows Grenville and Bartman standing back to back with another figure measuring their respective posterior sizes. Bartman's promoters nicknamed the Hot Top Venus with Hottentot, now seen as derogatory, then being used in Dutch to describe the Koi Koi and San, who together make up the peoples known as the Khoi San. The British Empire had abolished the slave trade in 1807, but not slavery itself. Even so, campaigners were appalled at Bartman's treatment in London. Her employers were prosecuted for holding Bartman against their will, but not convicted, with Bartman herself testifying in their favor. The question remains, was Bartman coerced as abolitionists / humanitarian campaigners claim, or was she acting on her own free will? Says Krister Petley, a history lecturer at Southampton University. If she was coerced, she might have felt too intimidated to tell the truth in court. We'll never know. The case is complex, and the relationship between Bartman and her handlers is certainly not equally weighted, even if she had some element of choice or felt she could gain something material otherwise from her performance. Holmes says Bartman's show also included dancing and playing several musical instruments, and that a quote-unquote sophisticated audience in London, a city in which ethnic minorities weren't rare even at that time, would not simply have stopped and looked at her for long on account of her race. After the case, Bartman's show gradually lost its novelty and popularity among audiences in the capital. She went on tour around Britain and Ireland. In 1814, she moved to Paris with Caesar. She became a celebrity once more, drinking at the Café de Paris and attending society parties. Caesar's return to South Africa, Bartman came under the influence of an animal exhibitor with a stage named Rue. She drank and smoked heavily, and according to Holmes, was probably prostituted by him. Bartman agreed to be studied and painted by a group of scientists and artists, but refused to appear fully naked before them, arguing this was beneath her dignity. She had never done this in one of her shows. This period was the beginning of the study of what became known as racial science at Holmes. Bartman died age 26. The cause was described as inflammatory and eruptive disease. It's since been suggested as a result of pneumonia, syphilis, or alcoholism. The naturalist Georges Cuvier, who had danced with Bartman at one of Rue's parties, made a plaster case of her body before dissecting it. He preserved her skeleton, pickled her brain and genitals, placed them in jars displayed at Paris's Museum of Man. They remained on public display until 1974, something Holmes described as quote-unquote grotesque. The domination of Africans was explained with the aid of science, thereby
establishing the Khois and the Hottentots as the most ignoble group in the progression of mankind. Purported to mate with the orangutan, wrote Natasha Gordon Chapin Burr, editor of Representation in Black Womanhood, Lexi of Sarah Bartman. After his election in 1994 as president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela requested the repatriation of Bartman's remains in Cuvier's plaster case. The French government eventually agreed, and this happened in March 2002. In August of that year, remains were buried in Hanke in Easter Cape Province, 192 years after Bartman had left for Europe. Several books have been published about her treatment and cultural significance. She had become a landscape upon which multiple narratives of exploitation and suffering within Black womanhood has been enacted, wrote Gordon Chimpembre, arguing that amidst all this, Bartman, a woman, remains invisible. The 2010 film Black Venus and the 1980 documented Life and Times of Sarah Bartman have covered her story. Even for those outside of South Africa who are unaware of Bartman, there have been subtle cultural references. In 2014, the cover of Paper Magazine showed reality television star Kim Kardashian bouncing a champagne glass on her protruding bottom. Some critics complained that the image was reminiscent of contemporary drawings of Bartman. The Kardashian photo referenced a 1976 image by the same photographer, Jean Powell Gord, who showcased Black model Carolina Beaumont naked in a similar pose. Last year, a plaque at her burial in Hanke was splashed with white paint, causing further distress. This happened a couple of weeks after removal from Cape Town University of the statue of Cecil Rhodes, the 19th century businessman and politician declared the British to be, quote unquote, the first race in the world following protests by students. People are working out how they want to deal with these issues over time, says Pentley. Often they've been covered up and it's now time to reevaluate them. The important thing is to do so in a way that avoids mudslinging and looks seriously at these aspects of our past. The 11 things you didn't know about the fascinating life of Sarah Bartman, theculturetrip.com. The remains of Sarah Bartman are buried in a modest grave in the tiny farming village of Hanke in the Eastern Cape. Austere brownstones mark the site, and a plaque somberly highlights the hardship and exploitation of her short life. Although she died in 1815, she was only buried in her current resting place in 2002, and her grave has been declared a South African National Heritage Site. But who is Sarah Bartman? How did life take her from a rural Khoisan village to becoming the Hottentot Venus of London and Paris? There are 11 little known facts of the life of Sarah Bartman. How she got the name Sarah. Sarah Bartman Sarshi, as she was often referred to, was named Sashira at birth by her Khoisan parents. Their exact date of birth is not known. It's estimated to be around 1789. She belonged to the cattle herding Guanas Kwasa group, who resided in the Gatus Valley in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. She was renamed Sarshi, a diminutive form of Sarah in Dutch, which she was sold into slavery to a trader named Pieter William Caesar. Her earlier, Sarah grew up on a colonial farm near Hanke, where it's believed she worked as an adolescent after losing both her parents during adolescent years. It's believed she worked as a servant after losing both her parents during adolescent years. Around the time Sarah was 16 years old, Dutch colonialists seeking to expand their empire came to conflict with indigenous Khoisan people into the Eastern Cape. Many were absorbed into the Dutch labor system. Sarah became the property of Caesar, who set the future tragic timeline of her life. Initially, she was shipped off to Cape Town as a servant, but things were soon to change. The making of Hottentot Venus. At the time Sarah arrived in Cape Town, indigenous African women were considered abnormal, inferior, and paradoxically exotically desirable to many white Europeans. Sarah, with her honey brown skin and other exotic features that include her characteristic Khoisan larger protruding buttocks, soon found herself the focus of curious attention. Her distinctly non-European look with whispers of sexual intrigue caught the eye of surgeon William Dunlop, who made a deal with Caesar to take over quote-unquote ownership of Sarah, the freak show. Dunlop put Sarah on display in London as a primitive and extraordinary phenomenon of nature, exhibiting her half-naked body to anyone who was willing to pay the one shilling admittance fee. For a higher price, the more affluent in society could touch her. Her large buttocks in particular were a point of interest. London fashion at the time emphasized women's derriers with extravagant bows and frilly bustles, and Sarah's buttocks were grotesquely inspected and secretly caved. Although it has been said that a contract agreement was signed between Sarah and Dunlap, that this is highly unlikely that Sarah would not have been able to read or write. However, a contract allegedly stated that she would work as a domestic servant and be exhibited for entertainment purposes. For this inhuman employment, she would receive a portion of the entertainment earnings and be allowed to return to South Africa after 5 years. Curiosity turns to perversity. Sarah never did make it home alive after being put on display as a half-clothed oddity in London. She was taken to France and sold to an animal handler. Her exploitation and degradation intensified as she was led around and given instruction like an animal, while her female organs were studied as an object of macabre interest and sexual peculiarity. It is also believed that during this time she fell or was forced into prostitution and became a heavy drinker. The story blurs. During her time in France, historical documentation on Sarah's life becomes conflicting. While some claim she was given the option of being set free and returning home, others believe that she was coerced into continuing her role as Hottentot Venus. It can be argued that by this time, Sarah had lost all self-respect and hope and had, in a sense, given up on life. Some reports claim she enjoyed the attention and company of French high society, while others believe she was used as nothing more than a prostitute and object of sexual interest. A twist in popular perception. Popular white European opinion of the time viewed Africans as an oversexed, primal, lesser race, representing the link between animals and humans and lowest form of human development. According to reports, however, Sarah is multilingual due to the diverse cultures that she had come into contact with, could fluently speak her own native language in addition to French, Dutch, and English. French naturalist Georges Cuvier, who had an intense interest in Sarah, described her as intelligent with an excellent memory for faces. Ironically, he was also depicting that she had ape-like traits, a competitor to an orangutan and a monkey. Sarah's death. Sarah died at the age of 26 from an inflammatory disease that was believed to be related to syphilis, alcoholism, smallpox, or pneumonia. Sadly, a freak show display continued macabrely after her death. Although Cleaver did not perform an autopsy on Sarah, he did make a plaster cast of her body before dissecting it. Cuvier's dissection of Bartman helped shape European science, with Sarah and other African women thought of as quote-unquote savage and distinct from the quote-unquote civilized female of Europe. Sarah's final freak show. After Cuvier had dissected Sarah's body, he pickled her brain and genitalia and placed them in jars on display at the Musée de l'Homme in Paris. There they remained for over a century until 1974 as quote-unquote proof of Cuvier's theory of racial evolution. Her organs, genitalia, and buttocks were thought to be evidence of her sexual primitivism and intellectual equality with that of an orangutan. The struggle to get Sarah home. Following South Africa's first free and democratic elections, then President Nelson Mandela requested that Sarah's remains be returned to the country for burial. After much legal wrangling and debates within the French National Assembly, France acceded to the request on March 6, 2002, and Sarah's remains were repatriated to her homeland in the Gatous Valley 2 months later. She was born on August 9, 2002, over 200 years after her birth. Sarah's impact on South Africa. Sarah is the first documented Khoisan to arrive in Europe, and although much of her story has been lost, over the years she has come to be seen as the epitome of colonial exploitation, racism, and commodification of Black people. Several books have been published about her treatment and cultural significance, with author Natasha Gordon Shippenberg penning. She has become a landscape upon which multiple narratives of exploitation and suffering within Black womanhood has been enacted. Yet amidst all this, the woman remains invisible. Wow. I'll do this one more. As Sarah Bartman's hips went from a symbol of exploitation to a source of empowerment for Black women, July 15, 2021. In Black Effect, Sarah Bartman was an international sensation of objectification, according to the British Library. In Black Effect, a track from Beyonce and Jay-Z's 2018 collaborative album, Everything Is Love, Beyonce describes a quintessential Black female form. Stunt with your curls, your lips, Sarah Bartman hips, got a hop into my jeans like a hop into my whip. Yeah. Celebration of Sarah Bartman's features marks a departure from historical image. Sarchi Sarah Bartman was an African woman who in the early 1800s was something of an international sensation of objectification. She's paraded around Europe where spectators jeered at her large buttocks. With celebrities like Beyonce recognizing Bartman's contributions to the ideal Black female body, and with the curvaceous posteriors of Black women lauded on TV and celebrated on social media, I want to understand how this ideal is viewed by the very people it most directly affects, Black women. So I interviewed 30 Black women from various cities in South Africa and the mid-Atlantic U.S. and asked them about Bartman. Would her image represent a reviled past or a canvas of resilience? Were they proud to bear similar buttocks or ashamed to share similar stature? Hips in history. Bartman, a Khoisan woman from South Africa, left her native land in the early 1800s for Europe. It's unclear whether she went willingly or was forced to do so. Showman exhibited throughout Europe, whereas in an embarrassing and dehumanizing spectacle, she's forced to sing and dance for a crowd of white onlookers. Often naked in these exhibitions, Bartman was sometimes suspended in a cage or on stage while being poked, prodded, and groped. Her body was characterized as grotesque, lascivious, and obscene because of her protruding buttocks, which was due to a condition called steatopygia that occurs naturally among people in arid parts of southern Africa. She also had elongated labia, a physical feature derogatorily referred to as a Hottentot apron. Both became symbolic markers of racial difference, and many other women from this part of Africa were trafficked to Europe for white entertainment. Because they diverged so drastically from dominant ideas of white feminine beauty, Bartman's features were exoticized. Her voluptuous and curvaceous body mocked and shamed the West was also described by advertisers as the most correct and perfect specimen of her race. The Bartman ideals. Of course, Black women's bodies vary. There is no monolithic nor ideal type. Nonetheless, there's a strong legacy of the curvaceous ideal more so than in other races. It persists to this day. In my interviews, Black women reveal how they felt about Bartman's story, how they compared her to their own body image and what her legacy represents. One American participant, Ashley, seemed to recognize how entrenched the Bartman ideal has become. Bartman was the platform for stereotypes, she says. She set the trend for Black women to have these figures, and now the stereotypes are carrying through pop culture. Meek, a South African woman, described being proud of her proportions and the way they connect to Bartman, saying, I'm proud of my body because of the resemblance I feel it has with hers. Exploitation or empowerment? Today, the Bartman body can be advantageous, especially on social media, where Black women have the opportunity to produce content that's socially and culturally relevant to them and their audiences, and where users can make money off their posts on various platforms. Women leverage their looks to obtain paid advertisements or receive free gift services and merchandise from various beauty and apparel companies. They're also more likely to gain more followers or perhaps attract more wealthy suitors, depending on their ambitions, by hewing more closely to the particular Bartman ideal. So you can argue that Black women are taking control of their objectification and commodification, earn money. They're also protesting the ideals of white mainstream beauty, seizing Bartman's exploitation and mockery, recasting her as a source of pride, empowerment places like hashtag Black Twitter, Instagram, and OnlyFans. On the other hand, it cannot be denied that Bartman's image is rooted in a legacy that is engulfed by slavery, unwillful submission to colonialism. The white gaze, GACE, that fetishized Bartman's body as exotic and overtly sexual was the same one that promulgated the stereotype that Black women were sexually promiscuous, lascivious, and hypersexual. While Bartman may not have been able to keep the cash people paid to oogle at her, Black women today can strive for her body type to make money off it. Once subjected to the mockery of an insidious white gaze, GACE, Bartman's physique is now profitable as long as these women are comfortable with being objectified. But is selling this body type always a form of empowerment? Would someone who wasn't already exploited do it? This may explain why Black women today are conflicted when they think about Bartman. Les Setti from South Africa highlights this tension. I feel you do find girls like me who are not proud of what they see when they look in the mirror and they just feel like I need to drop this off, she said. However, she added that you find other girls that are just so happy about it that they twerk. I guess Sarah Bartman definitely does have an influence, but it's either positive or negative whether you're proud to have a bum. A bum means posterior. Buttocks, if you will. So This is written by Rokisha Renee Ashley, who is a professor of communication, Florida International University. Well, all I can say is I am offended, heartbroken, sad, devastated, and filled with rage in terms of what happened to Sarah Bartman, what is happening to other Black women, what is happening to Black people in Africa and outside of Africa. I'm all for empowerment. I am hateful of exploitation. I am hateful of commodification. I am hateful of objectification. I am hateful of slavery. I am hateful of colonialism. I am hateful of unwillful submission. Black women are beautiful regardless of color, size, shape, and other physical features. I don't compare Black women. The stereotypes that Black women are sexually promiscuous, hypersexual, I hate those stereotypes because they are racist and I hate racism. I hate mockery. I hate perverted entertainment. I am outraged genuinely by perverted onlookers and the perverted gaze, G-A-Z-E. I focus more on the inner beauty of Black women, which also means I focus less on the outer beauty of Black women. Black women don't have to be what society says they have to be in terms of looks, in terms of any other foolish standards that our global society perpetuates. You don't have to be white to be a virtue. You don't have to be white to be right. I hate human trafficking. I hate perversion. I hate self-objectification. I hate sexual objectification. Black women are goddesses, sisters, pharaohs, empresses. Presidents, queen, I'm proud of my sisters. They're CEOs of companies, they're mathematicians, they're scientists, they're doctors, they're lawyers. I love their intellect, and I'ma just say it bluntly, fuck the white standards of beauty. Fuck this racist stereotypes. Fuck all bullshit stereotypes. Fuck white mainstream beauty. Fuck the auction block treatment that is rooted in slavery. To all the people that chose to be spectators of Sarah, fuck them. I know they're dead, but I still say fuck them. To all those who demeaned her body, her labia, her feetopia and mischaracterizations of her body and all the showmen. Fuck them. And the ones who trafficked her and paraded her and made her a slave, made her a servant, fuck them. That's how I feel. Black beauty is just as lovely as white beauty. B-E-A-U-T-Y. I appreciate Beyonce and Jay-Z for honoring her. And I hate the hot tin tot language. Call her outside apron. I just hate the mean-spirited, evil-spirited characterization of her. The hot tin Venus, I think that's all fucked up. It really fucking is. And, in my heart, I get so angry that I want to say to those people, I wish I could say to those people who treated Sarah that way, y'all never meant shit to me. Y'all are a bunch of ass crabs. So this is what I want to say in closing. African women bodies are wholesome. I want to say that the European standards of beauty don't mean a damn thing to me because I don't value them. I'm thankful for Nelson Mandela for what he did. I'm going to say this in closing. To all those Dutch colonists to William Caesar, to Hendrick, to William Dunlop, to Caesar Brothers, I have two words for them. Fuck you.